I have some a few hard things to say this morning. Is that better? No? Am I on? Okay. Now when I shout, it's going to be too loud. I have some hard things to say this morning, but I'm saying them to myself as well. I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you. It's something the Lord had spoken to me about my life and stirred me. And then he told me, stir you. The name of the exhortation or preaching this morning would be the elusiveness of prayer. Another way to say it, the time I want to spend talking to the Lord keeps escaping me. Yeah. There's even another way you can say it. It is hard to keep clearly in mind the time I need to spend talking to him. I'm sure nobody wants to raise their hand, but I'm awful sure that there's a lot of you that identify with that. I believe concerning the time that we need to pray and the time that he calls us into to be with him, for some of us, more often than not, there becomes a blind spot. We don't see or think about how often we don't pray. We're Christians. We're saved. And I pray sometimes. But I think sometimes we have a blind spot, spiritual blind spot, that we don't see how much we don't pray. You know, you go to this quiet place to pray. You talk to a God you can't see. Doesn't always speak back. Sometimes doesn't speak back often at all. And sometimes, more than not, you don't really get much out of it. When that keeps happening, the next step is you come delusional. Now, you know, you don't think about this. You don't think step by step by step. It just happens. But you get delusional. And the reality of the kingdom of heaven and a God that will listen to you dulls way down. But you don't think that way. But it happens. There's no one here that would probably admit to that. And there's even fewer, I think, that would realize when it happens. It happens real gradually. You're excited about the Lord. I went to church Sunday. But before you know it, if you would give thought, it may be a week or two or longer since I spent any quality time talking to him. I think if, now again, I'm preaching to myself, I'm sharing with you what the Lord shared with me. I believe if our lives, if somebody did a biography, a video biography of our life, and clipped out maybe the last 2 or 3 months and reviewed it, for a lot of us, the time spent in prayer would be so little, it would look as if it was very unimportant. But nobody would say prayer is unimportant. I mean, it doesn't register like that. Of course, prayer is important. You know, of course, buying your wife a gift every once in a while is important. How many forget? Anniversaries and birthdays are important. You ever forget about that? As humans, it's something that what transpires in our heart. Well, that's what I want to talk about this morning to you. I want to talk about the elusiveness of prayer in your life. Have you ever, you guys, have you ever had a tool in your hand and you're working away, whether in your workshop or on a job site? You lay it down for a minute, go right back. You're not 5 minutes. You can't find this tool. You look, and I hate that. I hate it when it happens. You look, and you look, and you look, and you're feverishly needing this hammer. Or you women, are you in the kitchen, and you're using utensils, you know, and you're getting supper ready, and maybe there's company coming, and you lay something down, and you got to have it. You know where you put it. There isn't 5 minutes goodbye. You're looking, where's that utensil? Where's that bowl? I got to have that spatula. And you can't find it. It's like somebody came in and stole it. The one that happens to me, I'll be in my office at home, our office, and I'll be doing accounts receivable and paying out and receipts and taking care of paperwork, shuffling things around. With rental business, there's a lot of paperwork. And I'll maybe just get back from the bank, have some important receipts, and I'll lay them down, go use the bathroom, come back. I can't find them. Oh, I'm telling you, I've had this happen. I just get in a sweat, a cold sweat. I got to have that receipt. So you know what I do after I look and turn everything over? I holler, Linda, what'd you do with that receipt? Oh, I've gotten in trouble with that so many times. Well, I'm desperate. I don't know where else to ask. She wasn't even in the office. I know you took it. What'd you do with it? She'll come in. She isn't 1 minute. So what you're looking for? Oh, yeah. And you find that tool. Right where you laid it. How? I mean, I think probably 99% of you can identify with this. How on earth can we do that? You're looking right at it. You look right over it. You see it. You don't see it. I mean, how do you do that as human beings? Well, how much easier is it to miss spiritual things? Ooh. It's a lot easier to miss spiritual things. I want to talk about spiritual blindness. Just for a few minutes, I want to give you a few examples of it. You don't have to turn here. You can write this down. It's really a neat story to read. In 2 Kings 6, the king of Syria is at war with Israel. And he tells his men, go here, go there, camp out here, camp out there. Well, Elijah is hearing by the Spirit of God. He goes to the king of Israel and he says, don't go here, don't go here, don't go there. Okay. The Bible says that happens more than twice. Finally, the king of Israel thinks, or the king of Syria thinks, where's those guys at? We're setting up ambushes. We're setting up camp waiting for them. Where are they at? And he thinks, somebody in my ranks is betraying me. So he asks him, who's the traitor? Now, how this fellow found out about this, I don't know. It doesn't go into detail in the Word of God. But one of the guys speak up and say, none of us are traitors. It's Elisha's fault. He says, the king says, what are you talking about? He says, Elisha, when you speak words even in your bedroom, he hears them. He's miles and miles and miles and miles and miles away, and there's no cell phones and stereos, things like that, you know. Spirit of God's telling him. So the king of Syria says, get Elisha. Get him. Find him. So that's what they do. They find out where he's at. They surround the town. Next morning, Elisha's servant gets up, goes out. Oh, he freaks out. Oh, my. Oh, the Syrian army. Horses and chariots are all surrounded. He comes in. He tells Elisha, he says, we're in hot water. You ought to see the army out there. And Elisha says, oh, Lord, will you be gracious to him and let him see spiritually? Let him see what's really out there. He goes, go look again. He goes and looks again. Oh, this is sweet. I'd love to have been this servant. And to his surprise, there's horses, the army of the Lord, and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Well, you know, at the end of the story, they were delivered. But they just weren't just simply delivered. It's a good story to read, 2 Kings chapter 6. That's why you got to saturate yourself with two things. I like scriptures like this. 1 Corinthians 4:18. It says to look upon the things that you can't see, but don't look upon the things you can see. For the things that you can see are temporary. The things you can't see are eternal. Well, when you mix scripture with spending time with the Lord, you become very familiar with him. You have an expectation. But it takes time with him, familiarity with him, of the reality of the kingdom and what he'll do. And the word of God, what he says he'll do. You've all heard the story. Some of you have, and I'll tell it really quick. There was a night I was coming home from American Steel when I lived in Alliance, or when I lived in East Liverpool. I was riding a motorcycle. I worked afternoon turns. I was on my way home at 1:30 in the morning. I got really tired. And there's this one straight stretch that I know a policeman, a state cop sits. I want to make sure I have my speed right. So I look down. I'm doing between 55 and 60, and I dozed off. I may have dozed off 10 seconds. When I lifted my head, it was too late. I'd already failed to negotiate a left turn going up the hill. I went right into the ditch at 60. Now, two options. Freak out. Scream, oh my God, I'm going to die. Or just simply scream. Second option. Cry out to the Lord because you know you can do something. Because you know. Because you spend time in prayer. Because you know the word of God. Well, that's what I did. It was a reflex. I'm down in that ditch. I'm telling you, I mean, it hurt my bottom. Bam, 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 bam. 60 mile an hour down this ditch. And I screamed, I don't know how many times, I screamed it more than one time. Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me. With my eyes opened, I didn't drive out of the ditch. My bike was translated from the ditch up to the highway doing 15 miles an hour, and he's still screaming, Jesus, help me. I thought, nobody gonna buy this. Freaky. But see, there's got to be something in your blood. There's got to be something you got to draw from. You can't just simply run to the president and make a demand when you don't know him. He won't listen to you. Yeah. Can't do that. It's a familiarity in prayer, in worship, and in his word. And then there can be a reflex. And he does. You got to have time with the Lord and the reality of the Spirit of God and the kingdom running through your veins to where you expect supernatural things to happen in your life. Now, you can't tell him what supernatural things to do unless you're in a position like this. And then he can scream out and he can do what he wants. Here's another one. Another example of spiritual blindness. John 3:3. You know, during John 3:16 is how God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Right before that, Nicodemus is talking to Jesus. And Jesus just kind of breaks right into conversation and starts talking about what he wants. He says, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You look up the word see, it talks about to perceive. To know, to believe for a matter of fact. So do you realize, now listen, do you realize in the world, all the people you witness to that are not born again don't know the reality of this thing? They're blind to it. That's why it takes a real heart being close to the Lord, caring about souls, and sharing the word in a particular way. They're blind. They don't believe the kingdom of heaven's real. Now, this morning, probably most of you are born again. But I would say in a crowd this size, there's a couple people that are not saved, not born again. Well, those people sitting with us today really cannot see or perceive the reality of the kingdom. Now, isn't that something? I mean, one day I'm using God's name in vain and cursing him. The next day after I meet the Lord on the road on Route 2 going to West Virginia, all of a sudden I see the reality of the kingdom. I'm telling people they're crazy because they don't believe it. It's a spiritual thing. He opens the eyes of your heart when the Holy Spirit comes in. Now, you would think That could never be covered up. But there's a really tragic verse in 2 Peter 1. I want to read this because I don't quote this too well. There's too much here. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, we don't have the time. For the sake of time, I can't go over the first five verses. But there is so much in the first five verses. It's wonderful about getting to know the Lord intimately. But we go down to verse 5. It says, but also for this very reason, this is after talking about coming to know the Lord intimately, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, control. He's talking about adding godly character, traits of the Lord into your life. Now, he doesn't say this has to happen overnight. This is a growing period. This is the time where you desire to be like Jesus. Now, it's hard to believe this is even in the Bible. Look down at verse 8. It talks about, for if these things are in you and abound, these traits of the Lord, these spiritual characteristics of the Lord, if they abound in you, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. In other words, you will become intimate with him. You'll really become to know him. But now listen to what this says. Verse 9. For he who lacks these things, whoever... Now, it doesn't mean you got to be 100% in all these things. It means you just got to be adding them to your life, desiring to change, desiring to take on the nature of the Lord. But verse 9 says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. Talking about a Christian, somebody's born again, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Probably all of us know people like that. Once saved, excited about the Lord, you talk, and a few years later, it's like they don't even know Jesus, like it's not real. How can that spiritual blind, how can that happen to a person? The Word says it can. Then you would think, now that I'm born again and the eyes of my heart have been opened to the kingdom and all the things I can see, your eyes are probably open to everything. No, not everything. There's more to come. Look at Ephesians. If you don't read this with me, at least mark it down so you can read it at home. Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to what this says. Now, Paul's praying for people who are born again, for Christians who are already saved. Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, listen to what he says, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, is that something? He's talking to born-again Christians, and Paul's praying that they would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that they would know more. It's incredible. That means we don't know it all yet. There's more to come. The eyes of our heart can be opened more. And how does this happen? The Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Having the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, more enlightenment comes in. It comes by intimately knowing Jesus. You are given the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's what that word knowledge is there. It's in, here. I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified. I love the Amplified. Let me read this to you. Do not cease, Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. For I always pray that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets. Is that exciting? I mean, hey, you gave your life to the Lord. You have forgiven for your sins. You're on your way to heaven. There's a lot of time to maybe kill here. You might as well find out what you can. Sort of tell what the Lord will open up to you. But how's that happen? by the intimate of the knowledge of him, by getting closer to Jesus. It only happens two ways: reading his word and time in prayer. That's how that happens. I've shared this a number of times, but for those who haven't heard, I want to share it again. Years ago, we were down at the Cambridge building. We were in the middle of worship on a Sunday morning, and I'd only seen one vision in my whole life, and maybe two. It's really phenomenal when that happens. We were in the middle of worship, had my eyes closed. It was one of those special times, and I was just shouting and really felt close to the heart of the Lord. And while my eyes are closed, he shows me this three-dimensional in Technicolor, this vision. It was really cool. I just quit singing and stared at it with my eyes closed. It was the earth out in outer space, and I could see the oceans and the continents. And around the western hemisphere, all of a sudden this little figure appeared like Superman. That's what it reminded me of in the vision. And as if he went and flew behind the earth. As he came out the eastern hemisphere, as small as he was, I could see he had clutched in his hand a red blanket. And as he came in front of the earth, all the blankets just opened up further and further and further. Finally, he flew across the earth. The red blanket consumed the whole earth. Well, I quit singing. You know how loud it is when we all sing. Well, it was loud then. And nobody could hear me. And I'm asking the Lord, what's that? What does that mean? I mean, I never see anything like that. And he reminded me of, I got to check the scripture. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, where it says, the God of this world has blinded the eyes, spiritually blinded the eyes of unbelievers so they can't receive the gospel. He told me then that the devil, if it were possible, he would like to pull a spiritual blanket over the earth so Christians could not look up and see spiritual truths. Now, give it thought. How much of that has happened already with Christians? He didn't tell me how he was going to do that, but I've thought about it over the years. One way is Ephesians 4:14, through bad doctrine. I heard a guy preaching on, I like to listen to Christian radio when I'm in the truck, and it's been a long time ago this happened. But it was early morning. I got a coffee at Dunkin's. Not a donut. Coffee. And I hear this guy preaching. And I like to hear preaching. It stirs your heart. And these guys are talking about hearing the Lord speak to you. Oh, I got real excited about that. It's one of my favorites, you know. And then all of a sudden he comes off with, you know, you can't hear the Spirit of God. Only one way, reading his Bible. That's the only way he talks to a person. Oh, I could have reached in the radio and tore him out of there. How many young Christians heard that, I think? What would that do to people who don't anticipate hearing in prayer a word of knowledge, a prophecy, the Lord speaking to you? So bad doctrine can cause the spiritual blindness over a lot of things. In Luke 7:14, talks about the sowing of the seed, and through deception, riches and pleasure of this life deceives people. And of course, probably the all-time favorite, not enough time. And I'm telling you, I've been there. I have been there. I have gotten up in the morning when I was so pressed, meeting contractors, having to be places, talk with people, just riddled. My whole day is packed. No matter how early I get up, I got to start. And I think to myself, I don't have time to pray today. Not this morning. Do it tonight. Now, when you're in a level place of thinking right, that's insanity. I don't have time to pray. Might as well cut your umbilical cord. I've thought that. I've got squeezed into those places. I've heard it said that prayer is a solitude place. Lonely place. I don't know who writes this stuff. You ever read that in a book? Write the author and tell him he's crazy. There is one place here in, in Mark 1:35, it does say Jesus went to a solitary place to pray. What meant there was nobody there. It was a private place. It doesn't say anywhere in the Word of God that prayer is solitary. That's lonely. Jesus never spoke to himself. He talked with the Father. He had somebody listening to him all the time. I have never had a boring, solitary prayer time. Never. Never, not once. He always is listening to me. He's always there hearing me. I know that. Oh my, God help the Christian who doesn't know that the Lord hears them when they pray. You're not by yourself. You know, he doesn't speak. If there's times that people think the Lord speaks to me all the time. He doesn't speak to me all the time. If I cut out the story around it and just gave the dialogue the Lord gave me, I've been saved 47 years. I'd have less than an hour's worth of dialogue if I just said what the Lord said, not the story around it. I got thinking about that when I prepared this. I'd have less than an hour's worth of dialogue. 47 years of praying. 1 hour of dialogue, you promised? Woo-wee. So if you're praying just to hear something, you're in trouble. Let me tell you why I pray. Because he hears me. Because he hears me. Let me give you a couple things. Acts 3:19. It says, when you repent, you come to the Lord. He brings times of refreshment upon you. Oh my, that's real. I've had that happen dozens and dozens of times as I repented dozens and dozens of times. He brought refreshment upon me. That's real. You're not by yourself. Philippians 4:6 says, don't be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication, take it to the Lord and Lord God. He'll bring, it says that, what's it say here? He'll come upon you and surpasses all understanding and will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I've had that happen. I remember one time I was in a bad dilemma, really bad dilemma. And I was walking up the sidewalk. I was going home. I lived up in Avalon. Oh, I told the Lord, I said, I'm hurting. I am really in a dilemma. The Spirit of God come over me. Bam! Oh, he brought this joy and he started to let me see it different. Then it was gone. I was back in my dilemma. But I want to tell you, I had the memory. Oh yeah, I had the memory. Lord help me. That's good. And I thought about that till that dilemma was over. He really does these things. You're not by yourself when you pray. And thinking that you're by yourself and he's not hearing you, you'll quit praying. You really will. Let me give you another one. Amos 4:13. It says, he'll make his thoughts known to you. Not just the special people. He'll make his thoughts known to you. Let me give you one more. Proverbs 3:32. I love this. It says that he'll give his secret counsel. I've only had that happen two or three times in my whole 47 years. But it was precious. I needed some counsel. And the Lord gave it to me. Bam. Just a few words. I remember one time I was at American Steel and I was welding. And I was having trouble with the rental property. I lift my hood. I started welding, and he told me what to do. Right there. Two words. Oh, a refreshment. Give me direction. When you're praying, you're talking to somebody. When you're not praying, you're not talking to anybody. Praying, talking to somebody. Not praying, not talking. You try not talking to your wife for a week. Yeah. How do you think the Lord feels? See, we think somehow he's unemotionally unattached. That's not true. He repented that he even made man at one time, it says. It says he is a jealous God for the people he created. We get a wrong view of this thing. Jesus said, I want to be your friend. I got a minute. Let me read something. I'm going to read these scriptures real fast to you. I'm almost done. I'm going to start in Psalms 3, 1 through 4. I want you to listen to the heart of these psalmists. Listen to the heart. Lord, how have they increased that trouble me? Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they say of me, there's no help for God. But you, O Lord, are my shield and my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord in my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Wouldn't it be neat to have a heart like that? That kind of confidence? Well, yeah, yeah. Psalms 5, 1 through 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry. My King, my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. They're not saying anything about hearing from him. It's their confidence in him hearing. Psalm 6, 8. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplications. The Lord will receive my prayer. Oh, don't you wish that could be your heart when you're doubting? Psalms 11, 17. Let me just read a couple more. Lord, you have heard the desires of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. Man. See, you have to be in the Word to see the truth so you're not spiritually blinded, so you'll pray at times. Because going in and not hearing anything back and seeing four walls, you know what I do when I get downstairs to pray in my office and it seems like it's bouncing off the walls? I tell the devil, get out. It isn't bouncing off the walls. That's what I say. I got to make a declaration of where I'm at and what's going on. It's not bouncing off the walls, and it's going through. And Lord, I know you hear everything I say. I'm going to tell you, you got to get yourself fired up for the truth. And this is not a pep rally, but it's reminding yourself what's real, because see, you can't see the things that are real. You can't see them. Did you get saved? Are you born again? You remember the day you got saved. You know when the Spirit came to you. You know when that forgiveness was really given. Oh, yeah. And since then, good things have happened to you. The Lord's done things. He's answered prayers. Remind yourself of that. Because the reality has to grip you, or you will not pray. Oh, man, I promised myself I was not going to get excited. I want to read. I got 3 more minutes. It'll be 35 minutes. I'm trying to stick to this preaching thing. I want to read one more set of scriptures out of Hebrews. And I want to tell you, this is sweet. I get these circled in my Bible, and I just go through and read these things. It just does me a lot of good. Hebrews 8. Verses 1 and 2. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. Now, this is the main point of the thing I'm saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, the true tabernacle, which the Lord has erected, not man. He's saying, we're not talking about that tabernacle that Moses made. We're talking about the real deal in heaven. That was just an example, a replica, a model. The real deal's in heaven. The real place of holy holies is in heaven. Hebrews 9, 11. But Christ is a high priest over the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. This is not of this creation, the real tabernacle. Not with blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Do you realize what was paid so you not only can be forgiven and not go to hell? Not only that, it's been done so you can pray anytime you want. You know, we come before the Father, and he doesn't see dirty Bill Powell with his baggage. He sees the blood of Christ that's been applied, that I've accepted, and that I'm striving in, even though I still have problems in my life and things that need to repent from, and I'm growing. That's what he sees, and that's what Christ did for us. I mean, if we knew the price that was paid and what was going on and what all of it took to go into this place, we would think of it of more value. Hebrews 9, 27, 26. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed to man to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Hebrews 10, 19. The climax. Therefore, brethren, have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Have enough boldness to pray. Don't be thinking what a mess you are. Go, if you're messing up and you're really botching up and you don't want to botch up and you want to be, go in before the Lord and say, I'm botched up. I'm really messing up. I don't want to mess up. The blood of Christ was applied to my life back in 1982. I remember when I got saved. Lord, please forgive me again today. I want to talk to you. You can't let the devil bring his blind spot or chase you out of the place of the Holy Holies. You have right to be there. And now, and he's telling you to come in with boldness. Don't come in like some little kid has been whipped. And the only reason you can do that is by the blood of Christ. That's what he's provided for us. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a full, true heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. Read the word. Get with somebody that, if you can't pray, get with somebody that prays. Sit around and get encouraged. Tell stories. Do whatever you got to do to know that the Lord hears you. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with a pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10, 35. Last verse. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your confidence. That's what he's saying. Don't cast away your confidence. This blood was shed for you. It wasn't cheap blood. It was the blood of God Almighty. He shed it for you. It wasn't cheap. He made it so you could be applied to your life and so you could come into the place of Holy of Holies. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. You hear that? Your confidence has great reward. For you have need of endurance. So after that you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Man, which I hope doesn't happen, but if I never hear from the Lord again directly, if he never speaks to me again, I can live with that. As long as my confidence stays that I know he hears me, I gotta know he hears me. Since I got saved 47 years ago, I have never entered into prayer one time, never once, wondering if he heard me. I don't know how that came about. Maybe it was because the guys that led me to the Lord, what I heard first and what was imparted to my heart. No matter what I go, where I read, what I see, I'm always seeing the reality of the kingdom. You got to get yourself in a place that that happens to you. Sometimes you pay a price for it. I'll tell you a story and I'm done. We went to Canton to see the Santa Claus a few years ago. We hadn't gone to a movie in years. Linda goes, we're going to see the Santa Claus. I said, yeah, sounds like fun. How the Lord can minister to me over worldly things, I don't know. It's near the end of the movie. All these people are marching out. Man, they got the music drumming. They're all marching. There's a couple dozen of them. Santa Claus is in the front. And I'm thinking, that's pretty cool. Spirit of God starts speaking to me. This is what he said. He goes, Bill, that's just a movie. Look at the excitement. He says, when my angels march, it's for real. Oh, it took my breath. I started weeping because of the reality of the kingdom. I just started crying and crying. Oh, I thought, oh, Lord, people are going to think I'm crying over Santa Claus. I'm so embarrassed. I grabbed Linda's hand. I said, we got to get out of here. We went to the car. I didn't settle down until we were halfway home. It's a good thing to be consumed with the reality that God hears you and he sees you. And it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time coming in and praying and asking him to help you. And I want to give you a hint. If you don't have a really neat prayer life, the first hint is get rid of any prayer list you got. That can come later. You need to go before the Lord, establish a relationship with him. Tell him the truth. I haven't been praying. I want to pray. Please help me pray. I want to talk to you. Talk out loud. Don't pray in your mind. Talk out loud. It's really important. And just start thanking him for your salvation. Remind him the day he got you saved. Tell him you remember about that. Think about all the good things that have happened in your life since you got saved. Give him thanks for it. Make your prayer time a time of praise and thanksgiving when you go in before him. And then ask him to open the eyes of your heart. And then, eventually, you'll be able to get a prayer list because you have a burden for people. It'll be real. It won't be a boring time just praying for names. We all stand. Kirk, do you want to say anything?